Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment. What a wonderful night. What a wonderful night. There's a song that came out a while back that ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. And a Holy Ghost party don't stop. I was sitting there thinking tonight as I was watching and admiring the atmosphere, participating in it. And I said, Lord Jesus, I said, anybody who is challenged to get in shape, all they need to do is come here 3 days a week. Glory, you'd be ready for at least the Olympics. You know, an hour of this 3 times a week is like the triathlon. This is powerful, man. This is powerful. Glory. I love it. I wouldn't want to be anyplace else. You know, Brother Sutton comes from a background in his youth that he knows what's on the other side of the cross. I know what's on the other side of the cross. The worst days in the church are better than my best days in the world. And I wouldn't want to be anyplace else. This is where I'd rather be. And speaking of this place tonight, I made a promise to myself and to the Lord last year. I used to travel between 15 and 20 weeks a year. Preaching around the country and abroad, and I told the Lord, I'm not going a lot of places this year. I'm going to stay home and continue to build my church, build my family, work on my kids' group and our music company, and just kind of work with that. So I don't go away a lot of Sundays, but I wouldn't turn down Birmingham. Hallelujah. I won't turn down New Life. Praise God. This is as much a family to me as Abundant Life in Clarksville. And I thank you, Brother Sutton, for being such a real good friend. Amen. And if ever there was a sincere man of God in the family, you have that in the Suttons. Amen. Amen. You have that in the Sutton family. And I just want to throw this out here just to interject something here. I didn't say Brother Sutton was perfect. So those of you who find whatever fault you find in him, you do what you want to with that. But as genuine as a man of God can be, and as devoted and committed, and as disciplined as a man of God can be, you have that in Brother Sister Sutton and his family. Brother Sutton, we applaud you. Let's give this man of God a great big hand. We love you. Hallelujah. Glory. And this praise team, you know, we started coming here a few years ago. And this praise team, my Lord have mercy, has just propelled itself to certain heights in the Lord. Just new heights, new dimensions. And I think they ought to make a CD. Don't you think they ought to make a CD? Don't you think? I think they do. And I'm honored to have my wife with me tonight. She's trying to work on this machine we've got. But she's in the office now. Yeah, working on some things. And I appreciate her. My wife is a devoted woman of the Lord. I remember when in 1997 when we had to choose between saving our church and losing our home. Saving our home and losing our church. And the question, would we give up our house to keep the church doors open? And I got phone calls from all kind of preacher friends saying, this is the time, Brother Ellis, you need to give this up. This is not the will of God for you. And you're going to make your family bitter. You're going to lose your children. And you're going to make your wife angry, and your family's going to fall apart. And people are going to disrespect you, and you're going to lose your credibility as a man of God because you can't take care of your own house. How can you take care of the house of God? And, you know, people use that scripture quite loosely. And they use it quite, they abuse it, really, to justify quitting. But my family said, if God told you to build this church, then you build this church, and then we'll be with you. Amen. Amen. And for 10 years, we went through absolute poverty, and for 2.5 years, we lived in somebody else's basement while we built the church. And my wife and children never, not one time, questioned me as a man of God, as a father, a husband, or a provider. And today, God has blessed our family, blessed our church, blessed our home. I wish I had a witness that sometimes we just got to tough it out. Somebody say amen. We just got to tough it out. And we're grateful. I'm grateful for my wife and her faith. She's a real prayer warrior. I am blessed to live with a real Christian, with a real praying Christian woman. And I'm thankful. Now, stand with me. Let's go to the book of John. Thank God for all the leaders in this church and the people who make this church such a wonderful place. Amen. And you are such a blessing to us. In the book of St. John, chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, 'How knoweth this man the letters, having never learned?' And Jesus answered them and said, 'My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me.'" Verse 17, read that with me aloud. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." St. John chapter 5 and verse number 1. Will you read that out loud together? "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters." Y'all gave up on me, didn't you? Praise God. Let's. "Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, 'Wilt thou be made whole?' The impotent man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me.' Jesus said unto him, 'Rise, take up thy bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." I want to preach very briefly tonight, just this simple thought. It's not my will to stay this way. Just look at somebody and say, "It's not my will to stay this way." Put your Bibles down, clap your hands, and praise the wonderful name of Jesus. We give him praise. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Father, thank you for your word. I give you glory and honor and praise. Lift your hands and praise him right now. We need a word from the Lord. Just one word from the Lord. Just a word from the Lord will remove all doubt and cause the sun to shine and give us peace of mind. Speak, Lord, speak. We need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord, just one word from the Lord will remove all doubt and cause the sun to shine and give us peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Lift your hands and praise Him right now. Thank Him for a word. Thank Him for a word. Thank Him for His word. Hallelujah. Thank Him for His word. Thank Him for His word. Thank Him for His word. Thank you for your 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 word. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Clap your hands as you're sitting down. Amen. 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 It's not my will. Stay this way. In our text, Jesus saw a man in a very pitiful condition. He asked him a very simple question. Wilt thou be made whole? That's a question that all of us should be able to respond to. Do you want to change your condition? Do you want deliverance from whatever it is that's keeping you from being complete? Whatever it is, whether it's a crippling ailment, whether it's some mental pressure that keeps you from fulfilling your purpose in God. Maybe it's some fear of failure, some fear of rejection, some bitterness or anxiety that keeps you from becoming what God wants you to be. You ought to be able to ask that question, answer that question. Do you want? That's the question. Do you want to be made whole? Say it out with me. It's not my will to be like this. When Jesus was on the earth and he walked here, the Bible teaches us that he grew into his anointing. He grew into his ministry. In fact, scriptures will reveal to us that he was not anointed in his ministry as a babe, as a child, to do what he did on the earth. This might shock some of you. But it was when he declared his ministry. It was when he stood at the podium at a given season that he became known differently than he was before. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 5:8, though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. He grew, the Bible said, in measure and stature. He grew. Up until the time that he declared his ministry, he was simply known as Jesus of Nazareth. Up until the time he stood and said, now this scripture is fulfilled. Up until that time, he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. But after that time, he became known as Jesus the Christ, meaning the anointed one. And perhaps the reason is that he was so commonly known and so usual looking and appeared so common that even when they came to the garden to arrest him, Jesus, or Judas, had to point him out. Had to tell us who he is. You'll know who he is when you see me kissing on the cheek. He was so common, Judas had to point him out. But he was still anointed to preach the good news. He was still anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to deliver those who were bruised and broken and rejected and dejected. He was still the anointed one. You have to understand that the power of the gospel is not often seen in the ordinariness of its presentation. Listen to me when I tell you this. I wouldn't want to be in a church that's less than this one. This is one exciting. If you can't feel God here, something wrong with your nervous system. But this is an expression of worship. This is an expression of our love for God. And sometimes we make decisions based on how we feel with the presentation. I mean, if I say just the right things at altar call, I can get you to run. If I push the right button at prayer time, I can get you to pray. If I just quote the right phrase, I can get you on fire to respond. But sometimes the gospel is not seen in the fire, or in the earthquake, or in the wind. Sometimes the power of the gospel is not revealed in the ordinariness of its presentation. And sometimes we miss the most powerful moments that God has prepared for us because we have not chosen to be delivered. So when I say the ordinariness of his presentation, I mean, there's nothing really recognizable about it. It just seems to many of us like another story. You don't sit there and weep when I tell you how he was beaten. You don't break down crying when I tell you how he was ripped to shreds. You don't break down and cry when I tell you how they ripped his beard from his face and pounded thorns upon his head. It's just another story. So the gospel, the power of the gospel is not recognizable in its presentation. And just like another story, you just cannot grasp the full power of the gospel on a cognitive level. You just can't see it on a cognitive level. That's why the gospel is not recognized, it's revealed. You don't just recognize the gospel. The gospel has to be revealed to you. That's why Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You didn't get it through education or association or through some human connection. You got this through revelation. You know who I am because it was revealed to you. And if I were to say to you, look at the person next to you. Just look at them. Look at the person next to you. If I were to say to you, that brother or that sister is the Messiah, you get your cell phones out and you say, hey, listen. Y'all be texting each other across the room. Hey. Brother Elson lost his mind. Brother Elson went crazy. He thinks he could be the Messiah because people look just like you. They seem to have all the same problems, all the same pains, all the same letdowns. They look so ordinary. But I want to remind you that 2,000 years ago, 12 men had to decide to follow an ordinary looking man. A man who was nothing more than a carpenter's son. A man who did not live in wealth and riches and in the sensational. Just another man. Because it's not seen in the ordinary. Jesus is never recognized, even in the church, you see. That's why I take so much pulling on people, because he's not easily recognized. It's too ordinary, too common. We're so used to it. He's never recognized. He's revealed. Jesus, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is heaven, has revealed it. That's why somebody could be sitting right next to you in church, right next to you hearing the same message, hearing the same songs, and experience nothing while you experience everything God has for you. And they can look at you like you done lost your mind. And you say, yes, that's the reason why I'm blessed, because I got rid of my mind. The reason why you still messed up, toe up from the flow up, because you holding on to yours. I don't want my mind. It was my mind that led me into sin. It was my mind that led me into drugs. It was my mind that led me into deceit. It was my mind that led me into defeat. I don't want my mind. This is so powerful because this ordinary man spoke to the elements of nature and they obeyed him. He went to the tomb of the Gadarenes, spoke to the afflicted full of legions of demons, and demons came out. This ordinary man stopped by the casket of a dead boy, spoke the word and commanded him to get up, and he did. This ordinary man went and broke up a mourning wake at the house of Jairus, spoke to the daughter, and the Bible said the damsel rose. This ordinary man stood at the tomb, the door of the tomb of Lazarus, with this rotting corpse of Lazarus in the tomb, the smell of stench of death in the air, spoke, Lazarus, come forth. And a dead man rose, coming out of the grave. I don't know about you, but this ordinary man was absolutely awesome. I don't know about you, but I don't need a heavy presentation. All I need is a word from the Lord. And if God can say it, I can believe it. I don't need you to tell me every week he's able. I don't need you to tell me every service, be encouraged. I don't need you to encourage me at my next new trial. Because the same God that rose from the dead, the same God that woke the dead, the same God that opened blinded eyes, the same God that spoke to the invisible elements, the same God also abides in me, and greater is he that is in me. Than he that is in the world. I've had to change courses in my ministry. Because I found out people were leaning on my talents, the talents of my praise team, my motivational abilities. I was a soldier, so I knew how to motivate people to do things that they didn't want to do, found themselves loving to do it at the end of the day, for one reason or another. And so I found them leaning on my skills as a leader to make their decisions about God. But the question is not whether or not you can believe me. Question is, can you believe God? And if you are depressed, what can I really say to get you out of depression? If you are disappointed with life, what can I say to really get you out of that situation you're in mentally? I can give you a moment, but I can't give you a lifetime. The question, do you want to be delivered? Do you want to get up from where you are? Do you want to change? And because I'm so ordinary, because I'm so common, it's easy for you to look at me and make a decision not to be delivered. Jesus was awesome. He was powerful. And I believe growing up, he was not like the rest of the kids. He was not a member of the club. He didn't fit quite well into the clique with the rest of the fellas. I believe one of the problems, especially in the apostolic church, is that too many want to be in the clique. You have to make up in your mind whether you want to be popular or anointed. You have to make up in your mind whether you want to be accepted or anointed. You must be able to, I know it's quite cliche, but you must be able to take a licking and keep on ticking. So what they don't like you? So what they call you weird or strange? So what they put a tag on your chest and call you a nerd? I'm an anointed nerd. And there's a difference between just being a nerd and an anointed nerd. Because I'm not walking around with the yokes on my shoulder. I'm not walking around afraid of every demon. I am. Come on and clap your hands and praise him like you know what I'm talking about. Everywhere that Jesus went, he caused controversy. He rocked the boat. He made waves, but he spoke with power and clarity. There was no doubt about who he was. And those of that day, those religious, educational, intellectual, religious elite, wondered, how could he speak with such clarity and power without going through our system? That's what they ask. How? They wanted to know who his teacher was. How could he speak like that having not learned our letters, our writings? And people always want to know where you come from and why you feel like you got a right to say what you say and do what you do and live like you live. But they weren't paying attention to the people that were healed. They weren't paying attention from those who had demons cast out of them. Right. They were delivered. They wanted to know what college he went to. In fact, when Lazarus was raised, this is stupid, I'm telling you. When Lazarus got raised from the dead, the Pharisees called a huddle. What are we going to do? Because... Man, when you get so deep till you get dumb, what we gonna do? We can't deny that this happened. But if we say he's not of God, then the people gonna be against us. If we say he is of God, they're gonna follow him. Well, we gonna be out of job. They weren't paying attention to what God was doing. Listen to me when I tell you this. You need to get your mind on kingdom business. Does God have to keep proving himself to you every week? Five got the Holy Ghost last night. Does God have to prove it to you again that you can get the Holy Ghost tonight? People have been healed and delivered. Does God have to prove it to you again? You can be healed. When we look at John chapter 7, as they began to ask the question, who gave you the right to say this? Where did you get this from? How did this man get this knowledge? Jesus made it clear, the doctrine is not mine. John 7:14. Now, about the midst of the feast, he went up to the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? In other words, he didn't go through our school. Now, I got to tell you this. I heard a man saying a few weeks ago that Amos was the only uneducated man God called. And I didn't insult him. He was he's a member of the school board, and he pushes secular education. And so he was trying to be real spiritual. And I was looking at him with a real sincere look. My mind was saying, he's so stupid. But I didn't say it. I didn't insult him. Because God also called a donkey at the right moment. And it might have been that moment, the time he was speaking. But no, I didn't mean it like that. But somebody stand up and tell me what school Jesus went to. What school Peter went to. What school the rest of the apostles attended. Apart from being a doctor, Luke didn't attend any theological seminary. You know what he had? He had the word. In the beginning. In the beginning. In the dateless past. Before there were stars and moon. Before there were birds in the heavens. Before there was even a mist that covered the dark vast. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Baby, I'm not putting down education. What I'm trying to tell you is if you get the word, everything comes. So Jesus says, the doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. And verse 17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. What he was saying is, I have not come with my own agenda, but I came in the agenda of him who sent me. I'm not speaking of myself, but I'm speaking from the power of God. I'm not here to do my own thing, but what I do as God has directed me. I am not speaking under my own power, under my own anointing. But I'm speaking from the unction of God. And if any man, say any man, will do his will, he will know whether the doctrine is of me or of God, or whether I speak of myself or whether I speak of the power of God. You understand what he's saying here? The only way you can know that this is true is if you've already made up in your mind you are going to do what God has designed. For you to do. I hear people all the time saying, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. They're not confused. They're just disobedient. See, they see the word saying one thing, and they really want to do something else. So they come between a rock and a hard spot. Because they know what God wants them to do, but they haven't made up their mind yet. So they're trying to find a way to make what they hear untrue. Oh, I'm getting ready to get deep on you now. So the best way to do it is to question the qualifications of the man who delivers it. Y'all missed that one, didn't you? The best way to avoid being obedient is to question the credibility and the qualifications of the man who delivers it. How does he know? Who is he? He's just a man like I am. I saw him when he fill in the blank. I know he don't fill in the blank. Well, let me tell you something. I could be a drunk wrapped around a lamppost. Acts 2:38 is going to be true no matter what I've lived. Y'all didn't hear what I just said, did you? He's still going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still going to be the one true living God. There's still only going to be one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. My qualifications don't define God. Hallelujah. Education doesn't produce revelation. Revelation and anointing only comes when you have your will aligned with the will of God. You will not get revelation any other way. That's why, hear me when I tell you this. I don't mean this to be insulting. That's why some people have heard the same message coming from this man of God week after week after week after week after week, and they just can't wrap their brains around it. While some are sitting in church, getting delivered, growing and maturing, prospering in the kingdom of God, moving up to other levels, some are exactly where they were years and months ago. Because you cannot get revelation and anointing unless you've already answered the question, I will be made whole. I will be delivered. I will live victoriously. I will rise up in victory. Can somebody clap your hands and praise Him? That's why we got to cry out like Paul did. Oh, that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection, fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Got to make up my mind. God, deliver me from trying to be like everybody else. You know, listen, I don't want to be one of the boys. I don't want to be in the clique. I don't want to be accepted. I want to be anointed. I've already made up in my mind. I'm not just trying to fit in to this world's plan. I want to be anointed. I don't want to be the usual one. I want God to do what He's planned to do in my life. So when He stops by and He asks me, do you want to be complete? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want that junk out of your life? Do you want a clean mind? I've got to lift my hands and say, Lord, I don't want to stay like this. I've got to be changed. Clap your hands and praise Him. God made us with a will. Look at your name, said a will. He made you with a will. Made me with a will. He didn't make us like He makes robots or computers. He gave us a will. Somebody say amen. He gave us the power to choose. With that said, He left part of your deliverance and part of your salvation up to you. Because you have to want to be delivered. You have to have a certain kind of desperation. You can't wait on the right climate in church. You can't wait on other people to create for you a moment. You can't expect God to slap you across the face with your deliverance. You've got to make up in your mind, I will get up from here. Now, I'll tell you, and I'll be honest with you, there's some things that are not going to be easy for you to accept. That's why God gives you a will. You have to have this determination. Even Jesus wrestled with the will of God while He was in the garden in Gethsemane, knowing what was about to take place for Him the next day. Knowing that He was about to suffer one of the most horrible, cruel tortures of humanity in that day. If somebody could get a PhD in torture, the Romans would have gotten it hands down. They knew how to make life in its brief form the most horrible experience that a person could ever go through. They knew how to make you wish you could die. And Jesus knew that he was about to suffer that kind of fate at the hand of his own creation. And he was about to do it in behalf of an ungrateful creation. He knew that the same people he fed would deny him. He knew that the people he loved would betray him. He knew that the people he walked hand in hand with would reject him. And yet he knew it was coming. As he prayed in that garden, he prayed so hard until his sweat turned to great drops of blood, the Bible says. Doctors refer to this condition as hemohidrosis, where the sweat glands, because of pressure and tension, burst inside the body. And rather than sweating moisture or water like we do sweat, he began to sweat the blood from his sweat gland because of the pressure. And he prayed the common human prayer. God, I know all things are possible with you, that nothing is impossible. And if it be your will you let this cup pass from me? But no sooner than those words came out of his mouth, no sooner than those thoughts raced through his head, he looked down 2,000 years later and he saw you and your grandchildren and your great grandchildren. He saw this age of prostitution and drugs and gambling. He saw this age of murderous youth and gangs. He saw this society of illiteracy and immorality. And he said, but whatever it takes, I still gotta save them. Whatever it takes, I still gotta reach them. Whatever it takes, I still gotta love them. Nevertheless, not my will. But thy will. He wrestled with it. I can pray for you. I can pray for you. But I can't accept responsibility for you rejecting God's word and power. I can have an altar appeal. But I don't know enough tricks. I know some guys that's good at it now. But I don't know enough of them. I'm not known as a great evangelist. I'm not going to, come up with all kind of, man, if I say this, they'll get up and come. I don't want to say it. I want to know, do you want it? And if you want it, how bad do you want it? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be delivered? Do you want to break that crack habit? Do you want to get off those cigarettes? Do you want to come out that nicotine? Y'all not hear me? Do you want to get off that pornography? Do you want to get your marriage straight? Do you want your mind straight? Do you want it? And if you want it, how bad do you want it? So as Jesus approaches this place, he deals with his confrontation with this man. He asks him, do you want it? Jesus he knows what's before him. Not my will, but thy will. In other words, I will. Tell your neighbor, I will. I will do this. I will make it through this. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad. This is the day. Lost my job, but this is still the day that the Lord has made, and I will. My husband ran off with another man. This is 2009. My husband ran off with another man, and I will. I've lost half of you. So he approaches this man. And he asks him, do you want to be made whole? And he looks up at Jesus and he says, after 38 years. Now you pay attention to this now. Because sometimes somebody's got to come along and put you in perspective. At 38 years, do you want to be made whole? He doesn't even address the question. It was a yes or no question. Yes or no? I'm asking you, do you want to be delivered? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to get your mind straight? Aren't you tired of being tired? Aren't you tired of being beat down and broke down and worn out by every circumstance you come across in your life? Do you want it? Yes or no? So Jesus, do you want to be made whole? Well, you know how it works when the angel troubles the water. That's not what I'm asking you. Do you know how it works? See, every time the angel troubles the water, somebody else beat me in the water, and I don't have anybody. Sound like a church, don't it? I don't have anybody to pick me up, carry me to the pool, and wait on the water. Do you want to be made whole? I've been coming to church for 15 years. I didn't ask you that. Do you want to be made whole? Seems like every time I take two steps forward, I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you about all your disappointments, all your letdowns with people, all the days you thought it was your day and it wasn't. I asked you one question. Do you want to stay like you are, or do you want to get up and walk in victory? What do you want? Now, because let me tell you something. Desperate people don't make excuses. Desperate people don't worry about the obstacles. Ask some young man who's desperate to see some young lady. He will not tell you he ain't got no ride. Yeah. Homeboy will sell 10 cans to get bus fare. I actually took the time to put my calculator out and do this. In 38 years, if you crawled an inch a day, you could have crawled 3.5 miles. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is if I wanted to get in that water so bad, I don't care who gets there before me, I know sooner or later it's going to be my day. If I got to grunt and scrunt 1 inch, but my day's coming. But my day's coming. You can't stop me. My day's coming. Don't care if you help me. I'm still going to get it. My day. What I'm trying to tell you is it don't matter what nobody else fails to do for you. Do you want it so bad? I'll come back to church day after day. One more prayer meeting, but I'm going to get it. One more altar call, I'm going to get it. One more message, I'm going to get it. I refuse to stay like this. I will get off those drugs. I will stop abusing my family. I will get rid of this bad temper. I will reject this negative attitude. I will go back to the house of God day after. I will find my place in ministry. I will give my mind and body to God. I will. So Jesus came to him with a word. Somebody say a word. You know what? Jesus didn't pick him up. His complaint was, nobody picked me up. Hey, you know what? I've been trying to find every reference to this scripture I could find. I don't see where Jesus laid his hand on him. Where it talks about the change in his muscular structure or strengthen his bones. He asked one question. Do you want it? And if you want it, how bad do you want it? And when do you want it? You want it next week? Or someday? I like that song. I got to praise. And I got to get it out. When you going to praise him? Why? Because Jesus is. Do you want it? How bad do you want it? And so Jesus looks at him. Then get up then. So I made some of y'all so mad. You look just like Naaman. Leprosy. Pulls out all his gold, his wealth, his money. Prepares for the man of God to come. Man of God said, I don't want your money. All I want you to do is go down to Jordan and take a bath. That's it. So ordinary. So plain. So simple. I mean, where's the parade? I mean, I thought you was going to get me and put your hands on me. Say all kind of great words. About 12 gallons of oil. And I can see the prophet kind of compassionately yet sarcastically saying, what do you want now? Do you want a bath? You want leprosy or you want a bath? Because I can't heal you. I can pray for you, but I can't make you get delivered. I can't make you want victory. You just got to make up in your mind, no parade, no music, no drums, no praise singer, no elaborate praise, that when the angel is troubling the water, you're going to get up, not waiting on your buddy, not waiting on your friends. Just get up and get it. Just get up and get it. Just get up. Do you want the Holy Ghost? How bad do you want it? Do you want healing in your body? How bad do you want it? Do you want transformation of mind? How bad do you want it? I don't know about you, but I don't want to stay like I am. Get up to your feet right now. Make your way quickly to this altar. Rush down here. Lift up your hand. Lift up your voice and declare your own victory. Healing. Do you want it? Reach out and grab it. Deliverance. Reach out and grab it. Victory. Reach out and grab it. The Holy Ghost, just receive it. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you come to this altar, I don't want you standing around, but I want you lifting up your voice right now. Every man, every young person, lift up your voice right now. Hallelujah. My healing. Your healing. Do you want healing? Hallelujah. Hold on just a second. No music right now. No music right now. Whatever. I want the voices of the people who are crying out to be the music of the atmosphere. I want people who need a healing. Let that be the music in the ears of God. The people who've made up in your mind, I will be delivered. I will be filled. I will be healed. I will have victory. I will overcome. I will be transformed. I will break this habit. I will change my mind. I will. Hallelujah. 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 That's right. That's right. I see the Holy Ghost on so many tonight. The power of God. The angel is stirring the waters. Get what you've got coming. It's yours. 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 The Holy Ghost is yours. Healing is yours. Deliverance is yours. Victory is yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. What God has for you is for you. Come on. You need a healing tonight? It's yours. You're fighting against depression? Victory's yours. You got habits you can't break? Your deliverance is here. Do you want it? How bad do you want it? Can you lift up your voice and cry out loud? How bad do you want it? Can you open your mouth and declare it? Yes, yes, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. If you need the Holy Ghost, you lift up your hands right now and let the Spirit of God fall on you. Begin talking in tongues. If you need a renewing and a refreshing, you open up your mouth right now. Let the Holy Ghost fall on you. It's yours. 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 Saints of God, if there's somebody close to you that needs the Holy Ghost, won't you reach over, pray for them right now? It's yours. If you know who they are, pray for them right now. It's yours. If you need a healing in your body, stretch your hands up toward heaven right now and begin to declare your healing right now. It's yours. It's yours. Speak it. Speak a word. Into your own body. It's yours. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. It's yours. Oh yes. Oh yes. Shatanda Rabba Bahosa. Yes. 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 Now I want you clapping your hands, lifting your voice, giving God thanks in advance. Every inch, every mile, I won't stop till I get what I've got coming. I refuse to stay like I am. If I gotta crawl an inch a day, I refuse to stay like I am. Come on, everybody, praise him. Praise him like you've lost your mind. Praise him like you don't care what the devil has to say. Praise him. Come on, praise him. Praise him. Come on, praise him. Come on, praise him. Yeah. Praise him. I've got to praise. Get somebody by the head and tell them I'm going to praise him
tonight. I got to praise.
Are you gonna get it out tonight?